My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
C-Suite Radio.
Want Instagrammers and YouTubers to mention your brand? Or do you want to influence an audience to buy your product? I'm Jason Falls, author of the book Winfluence, Reframing Influencer Marketing to Ignite Your Brand. In this podcast, we explore the people, companies, campaigns, and stories that illustrate the difference between using influencers and actually influencing. Welcome to Winfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast. Hello again, friends. Thanks for listening to Winfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast. Those of you who listen regularly to the big show here may have picked up on the fact I like to talk to people who have multiple perspectives on the influencer marketing space. Someone who is an influencer, but who also does marketing consulting and understands having to select and manage other influencers for brands. Or someone on the brand side who makes those decisions, but is also an influencer for some interest of theirs. Kelly Olexa brings more than a couple of perspectives to the table. She's probably best known for starting Fitfluential, the first real network of fitness influencers. So in that role, she was both a fitness influencer, but also a talent manager of sorts, connecting brands and agencies to the influencers in her network. She also has experience on the agency side, where she was before Fitfluential, then again as an agency entrepreneur with Socially Fit Services. Now Kelly heads up sales and business development for Lumanu, an influencer marketing software company that helps influencers and the brands they partner with whitelist the influencer's account with the brand. This enables the brand to put paid spend behind the influencer's content, which turns the influencer marketing channel for the brand into a paid social channel complete with targeting, lookalike audiences, and more. We talk about the opportunity and challenges with Lumanu, her perspective on the influencer marketing space, and a whole lot more. Learn from a smartie today. Kelly Olexa is next on Winfluence. This is normally the point in the program where someone jumps in and says, support for today's podcast. Well, support for today's episode of Winfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast, is brought to you by Winfluence the Book. Winfluence Reframing Influencer Marketing to Ignite Your Brand is available now from Entrepreneur Press. You can find it in bookstores everywhere, but I'll have a special place to go online and get a discount in just a second, so get ready to jot down a note. Winfluence, the book, is not just a strategic blueprint to help you employ smart influence marketing strategies for your business or clients, but it explains why our common perception of influencer marketing is all wrong. I take you through how to rethink and reframe the concepts to turn influencer marketing into influence marketing, broaden the perspective, and open new avenues of leveraging influential people online and offline to grow your business. Here's the special URL and discount code just for you, the listeners of this podcast. Go to jason.online/buywinfluence. That's jason.online/buywinfluence. That takes you to the book on the Entrepreneur Press bookstore. Buy the book and use the code FALLS20, all caps, FALLS20, and get 20% off the retail price. The address again is jason.online/buywinfluence. Leave a review on Amazon after you read it, because select reviews will be read here on the show. Winfluence, Reframing Influencer Marketing to Ignite Your Brand, is available now. Go to jason.online/buywinfluence and use the code FALLS20 today.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
So I want to get to your new role and talk about Lumanu. Is that how you pronounce it? Lumanu?
You're very good because was working at the company for probably 2 months before I could really pronounce it effectively.
Well, there you go. So I nailed it. That's good. So I want to get to your role there, but I think we need to set the context a little bit. I think most people know you for being the founder and CEO of Fitfluential, which was the first ever influencer network in the fitness space. Give the folks listening a bit of context around that effort, like size, what you did, what was the model there?
With Fitfluential, I just want to make sure.
That's yes. What
you're okay. With Fitfluential, it's so funny. I always call myself the most unexpected and reluctant entrepreneur because, you know, and we were just talking about David Armano before we got on this call, and he is a big part. Both him and Gary Vaynerchuk are a big part of why I ended up starting that company, because Gary inspired me to, you know, quit my job and see my potential. But I had been talking to David about how much I hated my agency job at the time. And I said, I just see that there is a need for a fit. You know, it seems like all these agencies are coming to me and brands are coming to me going, we're doing campaigns and we need to find fitness people. Where do we find fitness people or healthy people like you? And it was just this thing where I realized the only thing that existed back then, you know, like 2009, 2010, was mommy networks. And that was the thing, mommy blogger or coupon bloggers. And I'm thinking like, mommy is such a broad term. And so I saw the need for something that was such a niche focus, right, with fitness. And I started reaching out to bloggers that I knew. And these were people that I developed friendships with because I'd started blogging back in 2007. So we started just another blogger and myself reaching out to other fitness bloggers and YouTubers and asking them like, hey, do you want to opt into my little club, my community? I didn't really think that it would take off. But very quickly after reaching out to bloggers, we went from zero to having, you know, 500 bloggers, and we were reaching 5 million people a month. And fast forward 6 or 7 years later, we'd executed over 750 successful influencer campaigns. Back then, we didn't call them influencer campaigns. Now you would call them influencer campaigns. Back then, they were blogger campaigns. And we worked for agencies and brands, big brands, small brands, pretty much everybody in the fitness space, a lot of technology brands, some lifestyle brands, CPG brands. And it was a crazy, wild ride, but I learned a ton. And it's funny, Jason, because when I shut that business down in 2018, I said, I wash my hands of this. I'm never going to be involved in influencer marketing again. And now I'm working at Lumanu, and I honestly, I've never been more convinced that influencer marketing is more important, more relevant, and more legitimate than ever.
Well, and you bring a really good perspective to it, because not only did you run, you know, an influencer network, but you, you know, had influence yourself, you know, in the fitness space, but then also really in the social media marketing space too. So you bring in an interesting perspective to it. I know that what you were doing before Lumanu morphed itself, and you had the Kelly O Show and kind of your own brand name. I know you also, you know, used your parent company to incubate some other ideas like Socially Fit Services and whatnot, which is a consulting company, I think, or was a consulting company. So what made you gravitate toward a new opportunity with Lumanu? And is the Kelly O brand on hold, or is it still a juggle for you?
It's definitely a juggle in that I definitely have a tendency towards workaholism. And that just is because I really enjoy what I do. So if I had it my way, I would have a 48-hour day. I would be able to run my podcast, run my blog, relaunch my YouTube channel, work full-time at Lumanu, also run Socially Fit Services, take clients on there. I mean, that's just, it's a weakness. It's maybe a weakness and a strength of mine at the same time. So I will say that, interestingly enough, in Q4 of 2020, I took a break because I realized that I was trying to do too many things. And it's very easy to just allow your health to just get destroyed when you're burning the candle at both ends. So I'll try to answer your questions in order. But yeah, I took a break from my personal brand stuff, if you will. I shut down. I didn't shut down my podcast. I was recording 4 shows a week with my full-time job. And, you know, again, doing that and blogging and the social media amplification, it was just too much. And I realized, like, I need to give myself a break. I'm getting married. I want to enjoy the holidays with my new husband. And so that was really good. How I ended up making the transfer, if you will, from running my own businesses to coming back and working for somebody else, it really was kind of, you got to look at it in the context of COVID. I launched Socially Fit Services right after I shut down Fitfluential. And very quickly, that was January of 2019. And I brought on a ton of clients and we were a profitable 6-figure business within, I think, 4 weeks. And it was great. But I realized about 8 months into the year, I was doing social media management. And that's not the best use of my talents and my experience. And I honestly hated my life. Even my husband's like, every time I come home, you're like, pour me a drink. And so I decided that I was going to, you know, make a shift. And then interestingly enough, at that point, I ended up with a serious health issue, probably from working too much, but I had chronic migraines. I think I told you about this. I had chronic migraines for 7 months and I couldn't work. And so that brings us to the year of COVID. I got back to work in February of last year. So 2020, started bringing on clients for Socially Fit Services and brought on 4 clients, was all excited, and COVID hit and they either went out of business or just had to cancel their contracts. And it got to the point where, truthfully, Jason, I'd been working and trying to hustle and do the entrepreneur thing that I've been used to. And I couldn't gain any traction. And sometimes you just have to say, okay, if nothing's working, it's time to make a sharp right-hand turn. And I said to my husband, in the beginning of April, I said, here's the deal. I am going back to work for someone else. I'm going to interview. I'm going to put my name out there. I'm going to have a job. And, you know, literally as soon as I said it, I was able to network and work my way into an opportunity. And the truth is, I did actually work at an agency for a brief time before Lumanu, but I ended up at Lumanu because I've known the founder for years, Tony, and he's an extraordinarily talented individual. And he had asked my advice just on the influencer space, what he's doing with the creator economy. And it turned out that I was getting ready to accept another job. And he's like, can I have you talk to my head of growth? Because I really think there's an opportunity here. So it wasn't planned. I didn't apply for it, but it's one of the best decisions I ever made, because I think what they're doing with, you know, helping brands and agencies scale whitelisting and dark posting, and if you don't know what that is, you'll understand how powerful it is. The ability to scale those efforts is game changing for any brand. And so I had to join them because I'm like, this is the place to be.
So let's start there then. Lumanu, it took me a minute to understand what Lumanu is and does as I was poking around and doing my research. Why don't you give us the elevator pitch, since I'm bound to muck it up?
Sure. Well, for those that are listening that haven't yet gone down the path of whitelisting with influencers to gain permissions to create what we call dark posts, which sounds kind of shady, or influencer ads. What the Lumanu software solution does is it allows brands to scale those efforts. And trust me, when you start those efforts, you're going to want to scale. So if you don't understand what whitelisting and dark posting is, very simply, if you've worked with influencers, you know, you send them product, you let them experience a service or a product, and they review it, they talk about it on their channels. The problem with influencer marketing historically is there's really been no ability for precise targeting, no ability to predict what you're going to get with those influencers and what kind of reach, how many comments, what kind of engagement, how many conversions. It was always, as I used to say, experimental marketing. It's kind of like wait and see. Let's give all these influencers some stuff and hope it performs for us, right? And that's why a lot of brands aren't going to put a substantial amount of spend in that area versus digital advertising, right? And digital, you know, the media buying department always has all the money because it's such a precise science. With whitelisting permissions, you're able to go to influencers that you're working with, even if they're just affiliate partners for you. They don't have to be paid influencers. And you gain their whitelisting permissions so that you can use their content, which historically it converts three times higher than brand content, right? Than your own traditional stock photography. So they give you permissions to use their content to create ads. And then you can not only use their content, but you can target their audiences. And then you can create unlimited lookalike audiences. And so once you understand that you have, hey, I can use these the influencer's content. It's going to convert higher than my own content, three times higher. I'm going to use their content, and then I get to target their audiences, and then I get to target unlimited clones of those audiences, and then I can scale this. We literally at Lumanu have brands that are spending, you know, 5-6 figures a month towards these lookalike audiences. And they're maintaining a 5x ROAS. I mean, you can't beat that. It really, what whitelisting and dark posting does is it turns your influencer marketing into a paid performance channel. And let me tell you, if I would have had that when I was running Fitfluential, every campaign would have been different. I can retroactively dream that we would have had that, but you know, wishful thinking, right?
Sure. So I'm curious, with all the soup to nuts softwares out there, where does Lumanu fit? It seems like it solves one specific problem rather than provide a larger solution. If I'm a brand manager, an agency, I might hear your pitch and say, wait a minute, I have to pay for another software. So how do you combat that objection? And where does Lumanu fit in the SaaS, you know, platform or landscape?
Well, interestingly enough, and I'll be upfront, you know, this is the first time I've ever worked for a SaaS platform. So I'm very new and I've been at the company just 3 months now. Okay. So you're asking questions from a newbie, but I'll do the best I can. One of the things that I think is an advantage is the fact that Lumanu is very simple and very direct with their entry into the market. Like, this is what we do. When you are doing whitelisting and gaining those whitelisting permissions and dark posts, once you get to the point where you're working with, let's say, 10 influencers or more, it's becoming such an administrative nightmare. And anybody who's on, you know, the media buying side of things knows it is. I actually had a meeting right before talking with you with a woman, and she's like, this is my nightmare, going back and forth, gaining permissions, dealing with all of the, you know, individual influencers' assets. It is a nightmare, and it can also be a staffing consideration. We've got a lot of agencies that have come to us and said, I've got two full-time people handling this, and I'm looking at a third or a fourth. That's very costly. So what I like about Lumanu is that they're like, here's what we're doing. We're not trying to be a soup to nuts solution. We're not trying to do influencer recruiting, campaign management. In other words, a lot of the stuff that I did at Fitfluential, they don't even play in those waters. I hear where you're coming from when you say an agency or a brand is like, oh, great. Cause that is an objection. It comes up a lot. Wow. It's just another software. The great thing is what we're seeing, you might've heard, we've launched probably a couple months ago, a partnership with Grin, which is one of the influencer platforms out there. And we're fully integrated with them. And once that press release came out, I mean, the number of agencies that are coming to our door saying we need to do the same thing, because when we partner with those folks, we make their lives easier. And incidentally, they did just also this month go live, or excuse me, it's February, last month, we have a payment solution. And so the goal of Lumanu is not to just stick with the basic SaaS service that helps with whitelisting and dark posting, because as that becomes mainstream, there's going to be other solutions that are much more competitive to us, correct? But we're just continuing to add on complementary services that are going to help. And payments is the first. Taking that boatload of angst away from both the influencers who are paying high fees and the brands and the agencies who are paying high fees, but also dealing with the tax forms and the 1099s and the back and forth with influencers and when they're going to get paid. That's adding, you know, just another layer of convenience. So to me, I actually think it's better that we're not trying to be that all-encompassing solution. I think to me, that's a differentiating factor because I see more people trying to do the other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So first off, I noticed that you have the choice on your site to select whether you are a brand or a creator. So when you say manage, influence, whitelisting for Facebook and Instagram ad creative, that sounds to me like a brand-centric tool, which is how most influence marketing tools are built. Mm-hmm. Give me a use case for a creator or an influencer coming to Lamanu and initiating the contact. Why would an individual influencer use this?
Exactly. And this is another thing too, that is quite unique about Lamanu. So Tony Tran, the founder, really considers us to be a creator first platform. So he's built this platform and this company with the creator in mind first. So everything they do is about how do we make this good for the creator? And then the brands and the agencies are second. So while those brands and agencies are our customer, what we're here to do is really make the whole experience between these parties a lot more seamless, a lot more of a wonderful collaboration. Because if you really take a step back and think about influencers, creators, bloggers, YouTubers, whatever you want to call them, historically, and I can speak to this from my own experience, the relationship between them and agencies or brands, it's not always been an equal partnership. But in my opinion, you should be looking at these creators as an extension of your sales force. Because when you consider how their content will convert for you and drive, you know, not only brand awareness, but conversions, you should be looking at these people as real partners versus, I remember in the early days of Fitfluential, you know, I'd always have to explain to people, you know, the brands or the agencies that we'd get, you know, look, what do these guys do? They just sit around on Instagram all day. And they kind of had this attitude that everybody was a Paris Hilton. You know, they had unlimited wealth, they were bored, and they were just creating content. Versus these are people that really spend a lot of money in their craft. And while some of them might be wild and crazy, ultimately, they have an audience that you want to reach, and you should be willing to pay for that. So the creators come to Lamanu typically. I would say in the past, they came to Lamanu because they were working with a brand and the brand would invite them. So we don't have designs on becoming an influencer database where brands discover influencers through Lamanu. Typically, again, in the past, they've come to us because brand A is working with 20 influencers a month and they onboard those influencers. And those influencers are only working with that brand. But then another brand might work with three of those same influencers. And if they're going to onboard all of their influencers, there might be some overlap. So we've got a lot of influencers in our platform, about 11,000 of them, and they might work with multiple brands. Now that we have the payment solution, we've got influencers approaching us going, okay, I want to come on board. I've heard about you guys. I've heard that you really do a lot for influencers. They have their own dashboard when they're part of Lamanu. They get to see any ad that is created on their behalf. They get analytics. So there's a level of transparency and respect for the community, for the creators that they wouldn't get anywhere else. And now that they've got payments and everybody's hearing like, wow, I'm only going to pay $10 per transaction versus 2.3% or whatever percent you might pay elsewhere if you're using PayPal or Stripe or something similar. That's how they're finding out about us now and going forward.
Nice. Okay, so let's go back to the brand side use case now. I'm not going to use Lamanu necessarily to find influencers or even outreach to them. I'm using this platform specifically to streamline whitelisting and enabling their creative in my Facebook and Instagram advertising. So I'm connected. I've invited my influencers to authorize using this tool. I can grab their content that's focused on my brand. I can put ad spend behind the creative. I can run campaigns using creator content versus my own. Is that kind of sum it up a little bit?
I think you said it very well. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, most brands or agencies on behalf of brands will have started whitelisting and dark posting or creating influencer ads on their own. And they're doing it for, you know, two or three, four influencers. And then again, typically where we see them losing their mind with work and not being able to scale is when they get to about 10 influencers. So when they come to us, they are ready to scale. They've seen the return on using that influencer content. They're seeing how it's converting for them, and they're ready to scale and go big.
So in this scenario, the influencer becomes the ad creative. And now I know the answer to this question. You've hinted at it and said it a little bit, but I want you to underline it for everybody. Why wouldn't the brand just have their own creatives come up with that content?
You know, what's funny, I literally, and you know, I don't make stuff like this up. I had this conversation this week. I'm trying to think, it was a brand in the cosmetic space. It was hair. Cause I remember thinking I need to buy everything on this website, but she said, we cannot keep up with today's consumer and their demand for fresh content. And she said, if I had it my way, I'd just have a photographer, a full-time videographer and models in here. And she goes, I'd have influencers in here because we can't, you know, and I almost think about it in a different context of look at how we used to read magazines. You know, I used to get Shape magazine or Fitness magazine, and it would get delivered to my doorstep once a month. And those organizations, those magazines have had to take their publications digital. And those digital publications, if you go to Shape, used to be the kind of stuff I would amplify for partners. And I would go to shape.com and go, they don't have anything new. There's nothing new today. There needs to be something new. And I think it's very similar with brands, where today's expectation with Facebook and Instagram is every time you go, you're seeing something fresh and new. As a brand or as an agency on behalf of a brand, how else are you going to get that outside of user-generated content? It's just, to me, that's just another solution that this is, or another problem that this is providing the solution for. And it's brilliant. It saves so much time and, frankly, money on the brand side.
So what would you say to someone who argues that turning an influencer's piece of content into basically an ad just strips away the genuineness of that people look to influencers for?
You know, that's a good point. I think, you know, this is just my personal opinion. I don't want to say that there's science backed to this, but once I joined Lumanu and I learned what dark posting was, because truthfully, I'd never heard of it until I joined the company. And once I understood it, every second that I went on my Instagram and Facebook, particularly, I started to realize I had been converting on dark posts for a long time, and I didn't even realize it. I mean, certainly I realized, oh, I'm watching this influencer. I actually have a folder on my desktop here. And when I see this stuff that draws me in that I typically convert on, I've saved it in this file because I'm like, I'm starting to go, this is why I think consumers, the genuineness, it does translate. Is that a word, genuineness? I think I might have just made up a word.
I think I said it that way a minute ago, so you probably just had it top of mind because I just said it. I don't think it's a word, but I think the word we're looking for is ingenuity, but I interpret that a different way. So go ahead. Genuineness, I approve.
It's like one of the other words I misuse all the time is duplicitous, you know, when really I mean redundant. But anyway, so I think that, you know, everybody says what's great about influencers is they're genuine. You can see that they're real people, right? And if you're creating an ad using their stuff, is that going to change? To me, on one hand, you've got sponsored on it. You've got your disclosure. If you see a dark post, it's going to be the influencer's handle. So it's going to appear as an influencer post, but as a consumer, you're going to see that sponsored. So you're going to know right away, okay, there's some kind of collaboration here. There's some kind of payment. But typically the brands that are doing this really well aren't altering as much of the influencer content there because they know that the more it looks like the way Kelly Alexa had it on her channel, that's what's going to draw people in is the fact that it's not a really polished Cindy Crawford ad. Kelly Alexa is going to draw more people in. I'm not comparing myself to Cindy Crawford, by the way. Kelly Alexa is going to draw more people in. Why? Because with Cindy Crawford, we know that she's in a studio with 1,000 makeup artists and a big crew, and it's just it's been worked on with an ad budget of millions. When it's Kelly Alexa, you're going to click through to my page, watch my stories, and see that I'm a real person just like you. And you can, you know, follow me for a month before you convert. But it just, to me, I think it does translate, because if you're a smart brand, you're not going to edit that content so that it's unrecognizable from the original influencer, and so that it would look completely different than what you'd see when you click through to see that influencer's original content. That's my take on it. I don't know if it bodes true, but I think so.
Well, I can validate that it does, because I share some research in the book that's coming out on February 23rd that actually suggests that influence content that is sponsored does not have a diminished effect on the audience. In fact, especially with younger consumers, they think an influencer having a collab with a brand is cool, and so that's something that the Gen Z and whatnot they like the fact that brands are supporting their favorite influencer. So it actually has the opposite effect that some of us old fogies think that it might.
So, I love how you said collab. I love it.
Yeah, collab. I mean, I get it. I've heard my daughter use it before, and I understand it, but it's one of those young people terms that I'm like, just get off my lawn. Really? So Kelly, how do the brands and agencies out there listening find out more and connect with you online?
Well, certainly I would be more than happy to answer any business related questions about, you know, what we've talked about here with whitelisting and dark posting. You can email me directly, kelly.olexa, O-L-E-X-A, at lumanu.com. And that's L-U-M as in Mary, A-N as in Nancy, U.com. As far as just Kelly Alexa, the brand, or Kelly Alexa, the individual, you can find everything about me, my blog, my podcast, my YouTube channel, Instagram. Everything's just Kelly Alexa. And if you just go to kellyalexa.com, which is soon relaunching with a brand new look, heavy plug, you'll find all of my contact information there.
Awesome. Kelly O, an OG. Here on the show. Thanks for stopping by.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Jason.
Winfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast, is presented by my book, Winfluence, Reframing Influencer Marketing to Ignite Your Brand. Get your copy online at winfluencebook.com. While you're there, sign up for the latest ideas about influence marketing delivered in my monthly newsletter, or book me to speak to your company or organization about influence marketing. If you or someone you know is an influencer, a brand manager that uses influence marketing, or one of the many amazing people working in the influence marketing services world, and they would make a good guest for the show, email me at jason@jasonfalls.com. Our theme music is One More Look by the K-Club and Grammy Award-winning producer Jaquire King. Thanks for listening, and remember, when it's not about the person, but about results, it's Winfluence. You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Heiler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe. This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.